Shortly after her husband, Jim Elliott, and four other missionaries were speared to death trying to reach out to a tribal group in Ecuador, Elizabeth Elliott was able to live and work with the same tribe for 2 years. Through her visits here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth continues to reach out with the timeless message of hope and healing.
I don't suppose very many of you know the old hymn, "I sing a song of the saints of God, faithful and brave and true, who fought and loved and lived and died for the Lord they loved anew. And one was a doctor, and one was a queen, and one was a shepherdess on the green. They were all of them saints of God, and I mean God helping to be one too." Don't you love that? It's a wonderful children's hymn. They were all of them saints of God, and I mean God helping to be one too. And obviously, Elizabeth Elliott is never going to make it to sainthood unless God helps me every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year of my life. But let's not be surprised. Some of you are going through the mill today. I don't know your story. Some of you are being ground, you feel, to a powder. And the natural response is, "Lord, what are you doing?" And he's already told us, hasn't he? He has told us it is your sanctification that he longs for. He wants you and me to be like Jesus. Why should I feel discouraged? Well, because we're human, because discouragement is an emotion. Why should the shadows come? Well, because God allows that, and God is working on his curriculum to make saints out of you and me. There is a mystery between the things which must happen here on earth and the will of God. Now, for some reason, birds must have lice. Now, this loving God who values the sparrows and loves them and sees the sparrows fall and loves you and me allows things like that to happen. So we're up against this inscrutable mystery of the necessity of these things happening in a fallen world and the loving will of God. And that is a mystery which has occupied my thinking, I would say, practically unceasingly since 1956, probably since 1952, which was my very first year as a missionary. And some very stunning things happened in my first year as a missionary. Preparation, sort of the kindergarten lessons for the event which took place in 1956, that most of you know about, the massacre of 5 American missionaries, including my husband, Jim. And of course, the Christian world was electrified, disturbed, horrified, and wanted to know why. Why would God let a thing like this happen? And I was disturbed when people sent me all the Christian magazines, and I would say that every Christian magazine I had ever heard of had an editorial and an article or two about this incident in Ecuador. And the thing that disturbed me was an attitude which seemed to be prevalent among Christians. If God lets these 5 men get killed, then God has got to save the Auca Indians. God has got to prove himself to us. He has to vindicate himself. And in that time of darkness, I was saying, and what if he doesn't? What if no Auca Indian ever gets saved? Then what do I make of God? And of course, most of the bad things that happen in this world, we never see any good come out of them. Now, there has been also many, many different things. There have been many different things which God has allowed us in his mercy to see as wonderful things that have happened which would not have happened had it not been for the death of those 5 men. Humanly speaking, they would not have happened. I mean, these seem to be the direct result. For example, the many hundreds of people who have told me how their lives have been changed by the testimonies of those men. And I could mention 3 extremely well-known radio speakers whose combined audience would be in the millions easily. And each of those 3 men has told me that it was the testimony of Jim Elliott and or of the 5 men that set the course of their lives. Radio ministers whose lives were changed by that. But I go back to this question, and what if God doesn't explain? He has never explained to the poor birds why they have to suffer lice. Far as I know, maybe he has. But it's necessity and will, the holy, perfect will of God, and the necessity of what happens in a fallen world. Now, when Daniel was given up to the will of God, Daniel had to go into a lion's den. A horrible thing, which was the result of his obedience. He was utterly secure in God's purpose. Now, of course, God knew what he was going to do with those lions. Daniel didn't know. Daniel had to suffer the mental agony from the moment that he knew he had been betrayed to the king till the moment that he went into the lion's den. And have you ever stopped to think, where does a lion start chomping? Does he start on your face? Or just on an arm or a leg? I don't know what went through Daniel's head, but I can certainly imagine what would have gone through mine. Was there a single moment when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not shown the right way? Didn't the Apostle Paul worship the divine will when he was bound in chains in prison? Yes, he did. And remember that when Paul was bound in chains in prison, he wrote the Epistle of Joy. And he said in Philippians, that epistle, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And here he was, bound, as scholars tell us probably, to a guard on his right and a guard on his left, 24 hours a day, chained to those guards, and content. God's will and the necessity that comes through sin. The third stanza of this lovely little hymn is, whenever I am tempted, whenever doubts arise, when joy gives way to sorrow and hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care, he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Have you had an experience in which you could not help thinking that God must not have been paying attention? He just must have been distracted at the moment. His eye was on something else. He would never allow something like this to happen. But he could, and he did. He could, and he would, and he did. And Satan's master stroke is to persuade you and me to doubt, to believe that God is really not up there after all. He's not watching those sparrows, and he doesn't give two hoots for you. That's what Satan would love to get us to believe. And again, we turn our thoughts to our Lord and Master, to our Holy Savior, who knew exactly what you and I would have to go through. And in Hebrews, we have many, many, many verses which we could refer to that prove this to us. And the second chapter particularly tells us that it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, what is man that you are mindful of him? In verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now stop and think of that. This Jesus, who created the stars, now limited because he was given a human body. He was made a little lower than the angels, which is what man is, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, that's you and me, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And verse 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Read that whole chapter and ponder it, especially if right now you happen to be going through some major trial. And one more verse is from chapter 4, verse 14 in Hebrews. We have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Tempted in every way, just as we are. That's Satan's masterstroke to convince us that God doesn't know what he's doing.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.